Welcome to the GO Bond Working Group of Denver City Council. This session of the GO Bond Working Group begins now.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Amanda Sandoval, Councilwoman of District 1, Council President, and chairing the Bond Working Group. So we always have a short amount of time, so let's just get started with introductions. I'll start on my right, and then I'll hand it over to the Department of Finance so they can give their presentation.
I am Sarah Parody, one of your two council members at large, and I will keep talking until distinguished gentleman is finished. Very distinguished.
Thank you. Kevin Flynn, Southwest Denver's District 2.
Mina Sawyer, District 5.
Seven Rosales Gutierrez, at large.
Good afternoon, Diana Romero Campbell, Southeast Denver, District 4.
Stacey Gilmore, District 11.
Jamie Torres, West Denver, District 3.
Great. And I'll just pass it over to the Department of Finance and Clerk Ben Sanders for introductions, and then the floor is yours.
Thank you for having us here. I'm Laura Walker with the Department of Finance.
Patrick Riley, Department of Finance.
Ben Sanders, Chief Equity Officer.
Wonderful. So thank you for finding time for us today. We're going to do a general update on the Vibrant Denver bond process. We're going to go through a quick committee update of where we're at in the executive committee process. We want to talk about the evaluation. We'd like to show you all an economic impact model that we've done, and then talk through the legislative timeline. To start with, we wanted to start with just a general thank you. We went back and looked. Since January, we have had 109 touch points with you all as a group, which is a lot. It's a lot of conversations. It's a lot of phone calls. That's a lot of briefings. It's a lot of presentations here in this room. That is a lot of asks out of subcommittees and subcommittee meetings and executive committees. It's community conversations in your districts. And the good news is you're not done with us yet. We have a whole legislative process to come. So thank you for everything thus far, and thank you for your future efforts with us. Bond process, you all have seen this slide. It's the same slide that you've seen multiple times, except I moved our star just slightly to the right because we're getting a little bit closer. We're moving quickly toward that legislative process. Talking about the timeline here, bless you. We've been going through the tiering. We've had all of the subcommittees present to the executive committee. We have provided all of the materials that have been provided to the subcommittees, have been provided to the executive committee. We've been meeting pretty frequently. The plan is to continue through that process to provide recommendations to the mayor by June 23rd, which is rapidly approaching. Not that that is causing me any loss of hairline. I hope you don't notice. As we continue to go through May 19th, the subcommittee chairs and co-chairs presented their recommendations, and the executive committees received summaries of each project. On the 27th, the departments came in and presented their priorities to the executive committee, and highlighted any applicable projects that they felt advanced those priorities. The executive committee has met twice weekly since then, with the intent of narrowing down the 215 into a more focused lens to let us really start figuring out what the cornerstone of this project is. As I highlighted, they've received every piece of documentation that the bond team has received, whether that is documents from you all, documents from the public, documents such as planning, plans like Denver Moves Everyone, letters of support. We've gotten a ton, emails from the community, as well as build your own bond tool. All of this leads to the mayor receiving recommendations from the executive committee, and then eventually comes to you all for the legislative process. We asked the executive committee to consider a modified version of the evaluation criteria that you all had received as part of the subcommittee process. It is similar, not exactly the same on the sub-criteria. It's kind of an evolved version of that. We presented that last month. Be more than glad to give you all the exact sub-criteria again if you'd like to see it. The main difference is that we added budget this time, because that was something that was not evaluated at the subcommittee level. Additionally, we've now gotten priorities directly from you all. We have agency priorities that we have given as well. They're not ranked criteria for the executive committee, but they're extra data points for them to know. And then the subcommittee tiering was also provided as, again, more data for them to consider. The Build Your Own Bond tool, if you have listened in at any point in time during this process, and I know some of you have, you've heard the term Build Your Own Bond tool. And I've gotten questions of what is that and can I have that? And the good news is yes, you can. We would love for you to have that. So we are going to be sending that out to you all in the next couple of days. So you can start playing in that sheet as well. So what it is effectively an auto-calculating spreadsheet. Has every project inside of it, has a couple of columns, both with the original value, the ability to scale those projects and put in your own values, the ability to turn a project on and off, so it'll auto-calculate in. You can start to see exactly what projects would look like across districts, what projects would look like across the different subcommittees, how the whole thing stacks out. There's a summary tab, which looks exactly like this, where you can see bond sizes, how much capacity is left as you turn on projects, how much money you have left to spend. Really, the two things that I want to highlight here for you is there's a program admin cost. I think it's not a surprise that it costs money to administer an $800 million program. It doesn't happen for free. We have a pretty dialed in 5% that we're asking for as part of that. We're also asking for a 10% project contingency or program contingency. I apologize. That 10% does eventually end up as project on ground. Just want to highlight that, because when you start looking at that, it looks like the dollars get chopped down pretty quick. That is real project that ends up on ground. That doesn't go to a consultant that doesn't end up in a district somewhere. But as we send this to you, you'll be able to start playing with it. And obviously, if you have questions, please reach out to myself, Laura, Jackson, any of the DOF team. We'd love to set up time to review with you all specifically or help you scale in projects and play with them. One of the things that will come out as you're playing inside of it is the citywide programs. Depending on which committee you were in, you probably have some citywide programs that hit your committee. The citywide programs we've done before in previous bonds, they looked a little bit different. They were more reinvestment driven. They were street programs. They might have been some sidewalk programs, which now are very clearly under 307. This time it's a little bit different, and it's been expanded. There are the standard ones, the street pavements, bridges, things that may not have come up through the community in the most traditional sense. The community is not going to know the bridge condition index. They're not going to know about a rec center roof that needs to be taken care of. There's the new assets, pedestrian crossings. I'm sure that I can ask any of you which intersections in your district need some love and attention. Everybody in this room can list off three or four of those pretty quickly. And then there's the ones that kind of hit both sides of that are both new and reinvestment, something like a traffic signal or a playground bundle, things that need a little bit of expansion but also need to be taking care of what we already have. Water conservation is another one. We need to, you know, fix leaky irrigation pipes, but we also need to right size irrigation in a park. Economic impact model. This is something I'm really, really excited about. So in collaboration with AGC, we developed an economic impact model. It's no surprise that putting $800 million on the ground in 6 years and not 10 would create some waves economically. The numbers were more than I was anticipating they would be. It's pretty exciting. So to generate this, we built a generic, again, no specific projects were used in this. Wanna make sure that we're not saying, oh, well, it's this project that generated this. This is generic buckets of, if we did X amount in roads and highways and X amount in vertical buildings and a little bit in parks and a little bit in housing. And so we just built a generic model of what this could look like and then ran it and then asked CU Boulder to validate it for us, what this could be. And it all ended up with a 1.8 multiplier. So the easiest way to explain this is every dollar that we would spend brings $1.80 back. It's a very, very good number. On average, the whole job years thing, I know it can sometimes get complicated. That's 1,100 jobs that are created. Like, that's what that is over the per year. Like, that's how that actually looks. That's $400 million going into people's pockets. That's roughly $28 million in sales tax revenue on the screen. It's pretty exciting. So I'm very, very excited about this. So if you have particular questions of how much in any given bucket was used, I'd be more than glad to break it down and look at it. But again, no specific projects were used, and there are projects that skew the model up or down, depending on what they are, but this was a pretty conservative model. The legislative timeline. This is what we've been showing you all for, I think, 2 months now. This is what we were shooting for, which was being here today, talking about FinGov on July 8th, a first reading on July 14th, and a second reading on July 21st. We would like to talk to you about a different timeline going forward. So, Council President, do you have any comments that we want to talk about here?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I mentioned to the Executive Bond Committee, I'm playing, being the ambassador to you all and being the ambassador to the whole process. So I mentioned to the Executive Bond Committee this week that I felt like we needed to adjust our timeline. That what I was hearing from you all is that it was going very fast. And what I was hearing from the Executive Bond Committee is that it was going very fast. And so we had an opportunity to sit down with the mayor and look at this revised schedule. I also felt really nervous with the scheduling snafu that we all have of having to have the meeting on June 30th and then cancel the July 7th meeting, that it might get a little bit confusing for the public, because normally if we cancel our Monday night meeting, we usually cancel our committees. So the first time that I can remember, we're having to do the opposite. We're gonna meet on June 30th, council meetings, meet on July 7th, not meet on July 7th, sorry, and have our meeting. So with that being said, with the chairs, I need help with this, is that we would update this new proposal, and it would come, we would add one more of these meetings that week in July. So we would have one more time to gather together. Then it would go to committee. And I know we all have heard that what's the point of having a courtesy public hearing if you vote on it the same night that you pass it. So I was very adamant that we had a courtesy public hearing on first reading and then pass it the second time. Also, because we have to cancel July 7th and we're not having any public hearings the night of the State of the City, which is July 21st, that means two nights in July don't have public hearings, which means we have to stack several of them. So I'm literally figuring out the public hearing schedule with Luke right now. It's a bit more complicated than, as you all know, because land use, you have to post. So this would be the new revised schedule, and the reason why the July 22nd name looks different is because, as you all know, I'm updating our committee schedule. So it'd be the Business and Finance Committee, and then it would go, we would skip Mayor Council. I talked to the mayor. I felt like we wanted to skip Mayor Council. So it'd skip Mayor Council, and it would be filed for first reading on July 28th, and we'd have a courtesy public hearing, and then it would be finalized. Our last vote would be August 4th. And just as a reminder for people who don't live in our council rules all the time, all public courtesy hearings have to go last, unless we suspend our council rules and put it first. And I just don't feel like that's a good practice. I can't remember when we've ever done, I don't think, I've since Councilwoman Gilmer, I really, you know, I just don't remember that time. I can't remember as a council aide. I know Councilwoman Torres, you didn't do it, so I don't really feel good about suspending our council rules. I feel like we should just live. Our rules are our rules, and they should only be amended for extreme circumstances. So with that being said, I've kind of juggled our public hearing calendar to fit it in July. And I think I've talked to most of you, Pro Tem and I divided and conquered everyone to talk about the scheduling snafu. We're gonna have several busy nights in July leading into August because of having to cancel the July 7th meeting and no public hearings July 21st. So with that, I hope that at the end we hear good feedback from you all, and the Executive Bond Committee feels confident with that. And with that being said, we've also extended our Executive Bond Committee meeting, which means I get to have more of these meetings to figure out how to schedule them in my life. So with that being said, this is the new legislative timeline, and I feel better. I feel more comfortable with it. Makes me feel better having it come to Business and Finance July 22nd. It's not the week right after the 4th of July. And then I feel really comfortable having the courtesy public hearing at the end of July, voting on it August 4th. So this has been a big, something that I've been your ambassador and the Executive Bond Committee's ambassador as well.
So with that, just talking through the actions, you all will consider the companion ordinance as well as the ballot questions. If you would pass that on and it goes on the ballot, you would also still have legislative actions to issue the debt and on all construction or design contracts over $500,000. And that is all we have right now, so we're to questions.
Awesome, thank you for a quick presentation so we can get into the queue. So far I have Councilwoman Sawyer, Cashman, Torres, Flynn, Hines. Did I see you, Pro Tem? Okay. So first up, Councilwoman I know everyone's going to do a blurb about me going blah, blah, blah. it helps clear my mind, or else I'll just keep I'll just keep making mistakes if I don't do that. So it's literally my way of being like, okay, I made a mistake, so let me clear my mind. Councilwoman Sawyer, so if you hear me do it on Monday night, it's intentional because I'll just keep making mistakes. Councilwoman Sawyer.
Thanks, Madam President. Thanks, you guys. I want to geek out really badly on the economic impact model, just so you know. But a couple of things. So first of all, a request for you all to provide us the actual ballot language and companion ordinance language for us to review. The challenge with that is that if the executive committee is not quite done and we're pushing back the timeline, that language is going to have to be done earlier than maybe some of the decision making is done. So good luck with that. I believe in you. You can do this. But really want to see that
absolutely
language before it gets to committee to review.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you for that. And we're currently working with our bond council and finalizing that language too, so we should have it shortly.
Awesome. Okay. So we talked a little bit about our concerns, my concerns. I know some other council members share them with the citywide programs. And so I would like to know the specifics about those citywide programs, right? So if you are gonna keep pushing forward with citywide programs, which I think is a terrible idea, but you guys do you, then I would like to be able to see the actual specifics of what programs, what projects are gonna be included in there, right? So if it's like citywide playground updates, like I wanna know, is Ben Wiesoff Playground in that? And if so, at how much money? Because I don't want to have happen what happened before, which was, you know, my district getting told we were going to get sidewalks and we got a block and a half sidewalk on 6th Avenue. And that was enough to fulfill the ordinance. If you guys can include that in the companion ordinance, those specifics, I would really appreciate it. The 10% contingency, is that in addition to the 2% contingency that is required by the charter?
No, it is encompassing of.
So the 2% that's required by the charter is inclusive of the...
It's inside the 10.
So it's like 8% for overage based on what we have seen in inflation over the last few years, plus the required 2%.
Yes.
Okay. So in that case, I'm just curious, you said that that means that all of that those dollars are on the ground, like get invested on the ground, but that is not what has happened in the past because... particularly with the Elevate bonds, which were mispriced because none of us could have seen inflation and COVID and all the things, right? So no judgment on that, but the fact is that they were mispriced, right? So particularly what we have seen on those ones is that like that contingency was long gone before we ever got to the end of the bond program. And so my concern in seeing 10% inclusive of the 2% that's required by the charter is how are we actually calculating out the specific amount of contingency that's needed for all the projects? Because like I get 10% and I understand why you're doing it that way. I'm just not convinced that that's the right way to do it. So walk me through your thinking on that.
So right now it's where we're holding because that's what we see as a market average.
Okay.
And again, we don't know what the projects are yet, and it's hard to go look at risk against a project when you don't know what the project is.
So can I just interrupt you?
Yes, of course.
So thank you for that. I really appreciate that. So does that mean that that percentage might change when we do know the projects? Or, like, just do you understand what I'm asking?
Yes, I do. Okay. It could. I would recommend against that.
Okay.
And I think that there is a place here where we could talk about how it is monitored, implemented, and reported on. Having it there, theoretically, we get to year four or year five, and we're sitting on a large amount of contingency. Look, I think it's as easy as at that point in time. Everything has gone well. Everything has gone perfect. We've been able to protect that contingency, and now we're talking about how we can go disperse that across the districts. I've been doing this for 25 years. If that happens, I would be thrilled.
Okay.
That's not going to happen. Yeah. That's not really what's going to occur. But what's also, if we're holding that 10%, hopefully not going to occur is we're not going to be coming to you all and saying, hey, sorry, in year four, we don't have enough to deliver what we promised you, and now we need to cut.
Right.
We're not asking you to go back to your constituents and say, yes, we promised you X amount of sidewalk, but it's really only going to be this.
Right.
And we have a balance here that we have to do. And so could it? Yes. Would my recommendation be that we do that? I don't think so.
Okay. Would it potentially grow based on the projects? I mean, or could it potentially grow based on the projects? Because it's not just, I'm not just saying like cut that 10% back. We need that money for other projects. I'm really asking like based on our experience with Elevate and what happened there.
It could, but through the technical review committee, I feel like we have more risk management in this bond, and we have a better idea about what these projects are. I feel pretty good about the 10.
Okay.
I feel like we should be able to manage within that.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Really appreciate yeah. that.
And just to piggyback on that a little bit, additionally, as we've costed out each of the projects itself, we've also built in construction contingency and design contingencies even within each of the projects too.
Okay.
Like we have done for other, we do for all capital projects too.
Okay.
So there's a contingency within each project as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess that is the question I was asking when I was asking about the 2% required contingency in the charter is like,
yes.
did you build that
yes.
into each of the costing yes. of each of the projects on top of
yes.
a contingency for sort of the bond package as a whole? Okay,
yes.
cool. Awesome. Thank you. And then last question, Pat, you and I have talked about this. I have some serious concerns on the costing that the executive committee is looking at. So I'm going to give you a very specific example of that. My office has done one traffic study a year over the last few years, right? You can see the costing on those traffic studies on our website because we specifically asked our consultant, our traffic engineering firm, to design us solutions that were quick win, low cost solutions. So you can see all of them on our website. So I can tell you with certainty, not with the 2% contingency built in or additional contingency, mm-hmm. right? But with certainty that that's about $775,000, a little bit more, total for the entire project. When Dottie sent those dollars, that project estimate, because this is one of our bond projects that we put forward as council office, the dollar amount that the executive committee is considering is $10.5 million. That is 900% over the actual cost of the project. And that is insane. That means that the executive committee is not being provided the correct information that they need in order to make an informed decision. Because even if we built in all of that contingency and we doubled it and we put it at $1.5 million, that is still nowhere near $10.5 million. And so, you know, if you look at the District 5 projects that we set forward, you could get almost all of them in to the $10.5 million that Dottie estimated that one project to be at. And so I am really, you and I have talked about this, mm-hmm. not a surprise to you, I am really concerned about the information that the agencies have provided to the executive committee to be able to make that decision. Because if those traffic studies don't end up on that, you know, tiering list, I think it came through from transportation as a tier three. Of course it did. $10.5 million for five streets, I would put it at a tier three too, but that's not the right cost. And so that's insane, and it is a big problem. And I don't know how we fix that now, but that is a very true, very specific example with documentation that shows that there are major gaps in the pricing that the executive committee is considering.
And you mean the traffic study, not the traffic study, you mean the implementation
of the traffic.
So mm-hmm. that was some of the confusion that I think that we're having because the executive bond committee thought it was a traffic study.
No, the studies are done.
So it should have been like, it should have said 14th Avenue implementation of safety or something like that.
This is not 14th Avenue.
Which one is it?
This is so. Right. This is Exposition, Uinta, Holly, 6th Avenue, and 8th Avenue.
Okay.
So different from 13th and 14th, which also has problems with the pricing on it, which I could get into, but I know there are other council members in the queue, so I won't take up the time. But I have three separate examples of documented incorrect pricing for projects being sent to the executive committee for consideration. And so I am very concerned that you are not being provided information, the right kind of information for you to accurately score and make a determination on whether these projects should be included in the bond. That's all. Thanks.
Got it. Thank you for that. Next up, we have Councilmember Cashman with Taurus on deck.
Thank you, Madam President. A little bit easier, no math on the fly here. Could you go back to the slide where you're looking at new projects and citywide projects and so on. If we can get that pulled up. Just an easy question. Under new assets, I understand bike and corral build out, but I don't understand why we're pedestrian crossing is a new program. traffic calming is a new program. If you could just give me your thoughts.
Sure. So we were asked by the executive committee to classify whether or not the citywide programs, so this is only referring to the citywide programs, whether these would be classified as reinvestments, if they were classified as new items, or if they were classified as a combo. So on something like the pedestrian crossing program, if we were going to go do a new crosswalk or a new stop sign or a new traffic signal or a new asset of some form in that program, how would we look at that? If it is replacing existing things, repaving roads versus building a new road, then that's clearly reinvestment. The combos, the both category that's on the right, that's where those are. It's a mixture of things, right? Like we might do a new signal, we might replace existing signals as part of those programs. So
it, that's clear. I just misinterpreted how it was categorized. So, that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilmember Cashman. Councilwoman Torres with Hines on deck.
Thank you. Just to add, I share Councilwoman Sawyer's concern about cost estimates being much higher than anticipated. And I think that creates a really difficult situation if we're being asked on the build your own bond tool. As one complexity to that, but B, whether or not partial investment is possible on any of these projects. We are not provided that information necessarily. The subcommittee wasn't deliberating that necessarily. So it's difficult sometimes to determine, is this scalable? Is it feasible beyond what we're looking at? So just something that I think is likely to come up in between the full build out estimate and what actually ends up in the bond. It's a smaller amount than Elevate. We have escalated costs, which mean far fewer projects are coming in. And I think that that expectation not just needs to be set among us in the city, but also with the community. We're not going to see as many projects as we saw in Elevate. And so we're not going to get everything, but every community should feel like they gave their voice to something. It does feel like the effort that went into communities galvanizing support around projects got watered down along the way. So I had communities in Sun Valley, in Westwood, where it became part of like a collective voice gathering to say, we want this project. It looks on paper like one for one with just one person submitting an idea as well as a whole neighborhood submitting an idea, right? So I know the difference in some of what the traffic that I see, but I don't know that the bond committees, the other committees that I don't sit on or the executive committee are able to distinguish that either, right? So just my feedback, and I've been mentioning this as like weight that we didn't see along the way. How does the process so far square, and this may relate to the citywide bundles, square with like end of life tracking or infrastructure and age of assets stuff? Because if we're talking about like a brand new identifiable project, and yet we've got things that are nearing the end of life that we are still ignoring after two bonds, you know, something like that, I think is like we're failing in our duty to keep up our assets. And that could be bridges, that could be HVAC systems that are not sexy, but they are necessary. And we constantly are kicking a can down the road on some of these things. It's not something I know about. When we discussed the playgrounds bundle, for example, it's difficult to say I want my playground in the bond and us to have like one small project. Knowing it would be part of a bundle was also assuming there would be other folks who would be looking at, okay, which are our oldest? Where are they in the city? And let's start tackling those. That's what I assume is a bundle decision-making process. So just want to share that question, and that's my last question.
So there's a lot to tackle there. so I'm going to do my best. I'll work in reverse. The bundles conversation, I think, is complicated. And there's some trust building that we have to do there, and that's okay. The bundles need to be a mixture of data-driven and working directly with the council members. Like, you know your communities, and you're going to know them better than we're going to, and that's just the reality of the situation. So I think it is as simple as us working with an agency and saying, give us the oldest and condition assessment-driven data, and then working back with the council member to say, and you hear from your community, where do you feel like, you know, this alignment happens? It's a Venn diagram. Where's the overlap? Where can we leverage the money that we're saying, if we're going to talk about a playgrounds bundle, maybe it's a certain level of investment across the city per district. Maybe it is, there's some districts that have a disproportionate amount of playgrounds, right? And that's how we're looking at it. Or maybe the data says that there's some districts that have significantly older infrastructure. To your question about how we take care of aging infrastructure that's heading to the end of life, this is, I think, a piece that we have tried very hard working with the executive committee on, which there's two of sitting at the table here. We've highlighted this a lot. We've talked about reinvestment a ton. We flagged all the projects with reinvestment. That's why that slide had the reinvestment there, and that's just on the citywide programs. We've flagged that category on every single name project in the city. The reality is we have bridges that are approaching end of life, and the bonds are a place where we can do that. CIP, some of the bridges are so large in dollar figure that there isn't a CIP solve. With the federal funding situation right now, there isn't a good answer without help from the feds if we don't do them in the bond. And we're being very open and transparent about that. So we're flagging that. And there's going to be some stuff that we just have to take care of because we have to do it now before it breaks. And that's the reality of this. And we're having those conversations. And I think the executive committee, it's resonating with, in my opinion. And I think we're digging into the take care of your pools, take care of your bridges, take care of the pieces that we have to get now. So I believe we have heard that. We heard that from the community. We've heard that from you all during our briefings, that there's a concern there. We've conveyed that to the executive committee. I think they're hearing that very clearly.
Thank you. Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you. Next up, we have Councilmember Hines with Pro Tem Romero Campbell on deck.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Council Torres, because you were going the same direction that I was going to go. Do we have a dollar estimate on the amount of deferred maintenance that comes due in the next 6 years?
The Jacobs report was how much, Jackson? Just under $7 billion.
Yeah. So that's the number I heard as well. So it's an $800 million potential bond, unless that number's changed. We're still targeting?
That's still the target.
Okay. Just the 2021 bond, we were targeting one number and it went up. I think we're targeting 400 million and we ended up 500. So, to Councilor Torres's point, I am a little concerned about just the amount of deferred maintenance that comes due. Even if we allocated 100% of the bond to not sexy projects, making sure that our streets and bridges are safe, we still wouldn't have enough funds. So, I just laying that out there. Thank you for the update. I just remain concerned about the limited time that we'll have the opportunity to share the actual list of bond projects with our community. I recognize that the executive team wants more time. I think they're putting in a far greater investment of time and energy into their consideration than they were originally expecting. And I want them to get the time that they need to make an informed decision, or at least as much time as they could possibly have. just once again raising the concern about this compressed time frame. on its own, just on its own face, but also relative to other bond projects. So, it's great that we're expanding the time a little bit, but that doesn't really change the amount of time we have to share the actual projects that might be in our districts or citywide projects with our community. And I was hoping for a little more data with this presentation. I understand that you don't want to usurp the executive committee's deliberation opportunity, but I'm concerned. So about the timeline. Thank you. That's all I wanted to share.
So I could just say that the from what I understand, the 2021 rise went faster than this. Just so you know, it was done in 4-5 months. And so the other one, the 2017, yes, it had much more runway, 100%. But the chair of the 2021 RISE, MOA, I can't remember his last name off the top of my head right now.
Colin.
Yeah, he was the chair of the Executive Bond Committee, and he keeps reminding us that it went much faster, and it was only $300 million less. Not only, but it was $300 million less. And it was done with hardly any community input process, without much, and then the Executive Bond Committee, he ran it much faster. So I said the same thing, and then I got corrected. And so I did not remember that. I don't think a lot of us remembered that. It was COVID, and so I actually looked back and looked at it, and it's true. So I did do some research, but I felt like it was longer. Maybe it was because we weren't stranded in COVID time that we felt like it was longer. Everything seemed longer. It was like that black hole where I couldn't remember. But it did actually move much faster. So I wanted to bring that up. Yep. Councilmember Pro Tem Romero Campbell with Councilwoman Lewis on deck.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you again for the work that you've put into this process and to the Exec Committee. Some of my questions have been asked, but just a little bit more of when will we see the bond language and the project list? Where does that fit in on the timeline? On which of these dates? I don't know who
answers. We are pushing very quickly on the bond list. I think we just added an extra meeting, and I don't want to give the exact date, but like in the next 2 weeks, like we're coming on it very, very quickly. So that's what we're shooting for. Obviously, we want to give the executive committee the time that they need to make sure that it is right and balanced, but we're moving very, very quickly. So Laura, you're looking at me.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No worries.
Good morning, Laura Swartz, Department of Finance. We'll also be reaching out to you guys to schedule another round of briefings at the beginning of July. So you'll get that offer from Carolina. Please let us know. And in those briefings, we'll also be going over ballot language, companion ordinance language, and project list where it stands. So you will have that well in advance of coming to committee at the end of July.
Thank you.
And then another question, in the subcommittees, one of the data points that was shared was the CIP, the capital improvement projects. How has that factored into some of the bond priorities, and where is that with executive committee right
so
now?
So the way that it has functioned is every single project, when it has come up for discussion, I've given an overview of that project. We've discussed whether it came from, like, where the source of that project was, if it's on a CIP list, if it came out of the community, if it is on a priority list for a council member, if it was on a priority list for an agency. There's a fairly robust discussion on every single project. It's like a scarring thing for me, like a little trauma here. But we have highlighted that on basically every project, even if it's just a little singular playground that we have talked about, if it's a singular traffic study, if it is something that was granular, we have given it airtime.
I just want to say, during the process and to get here, to your point, Councilmember Torres. I think the community that came out and participated and lended the voice, a way in the future, I guess, to be able to capture that, because I think that there were so many community members that participated, and then, you know, you also have like one that had, you know, our members, folks who also participated in the bond who also had maybe just one idea that they were putting forward, and how we measure and and weight that, I think, is going to be really important in the future. But also for this particular project, we could probably anecdotally tell you where we had the most push and effort on particular projects.
And additionally, for each of the executive committees as well, we do have a public comment period as well. And then yesterday, there's about 18 people who signed up to speak. And so that the public comment period has definitely been growing over the course of the executive committees as well. So having that opportunity for the public as well.
Great. And then I just wanted to make a statement for the exec committee and for council president. I appreciate extending out the timeline and offering a courtesy public hearing. I think that's going to be really important, and then not voting on it the same night. I know that there are so many community members that are passionate about a number of projects all across the city, and so it's going to be a long night, but I just really appreciate that that is going to be provided and offered to people in Denver. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Next up, we have Councilwoman Lewis.
I really appreciate this presentation as well as what Councilwoman Sawyer and Councilwoman Torres raised regarding the pricing that's being provided to the executive committee, because I had that also happen in my district with a recreation center that was being shown as a $95 million investment versus $10 million. And so just wanted to put that to provide my support in that area. I also wanted to speak. I also had a question or inquiry regarding historical equity in terms of like how we are thinking about how we frame projects and how we atone for maybe a lack of investment in specific neighborhoods, and like how do we make sure that we are maybe over-investing in those neighborhoods that have seen a lack of investment. And so I think that question is probably more specifically for Dr. Sanders, as you all are thinking about the criteria or the tool that you all use for that evaluation. I'm just curious of how you all are thinking about how you atone for that.
Yeah, thank you, Councilwoman Lewis. I'm happy to speak to that question. I can share that ensuring that we look at the potential shape of this bond in appropriate ways through the lens of past bonds has been a really sustained commitment of this executive committee. And we want to do that both so that we can get a clear picture of where we have invested previously, but also so that we're taking a picture of, I mean, the shape of potential investments in this particular bond. Looking at district by district, taking a whole picture of the city, everything we know about NEST neighborhoods, neighborhoods of highest need, and taking that and mapping that right on top of what we've done in the past. And that has been a push, not just from myself, but from other members of the executive committee as well. And it's been a push since the very beginning, right? So, and it hasn't gone away. I mean, the last time we were together, one of the last statements that was made at the table was about how important it was that we were doing this overlay map as we get closer and closer to the finish line. And so a concern for historical equity and for making sure that this bond is executed in ways that takes into account both what we need to do right now in terms of reinvestment, in terms of new projects, but also in terms of equity has been a real consistent concern and investment of the committee.
And then when you talk about that map, is that a map that's being designed? Because I know in the subcommittee that I was in, there was a request in that same vein of having a map in which you could see like where recreation centers are, where libraries are, like where infrastructure is, in order for folks to be able to see what it looks like to invest in neighborhoods and where the investment may not be. Is that what you all have in mind in terms of that overlay?
I can speak to that, Councilman Lewis. Yes, so that map has been developed, and so that map will include, right now it includes every single project that has been tiered, as well as an overlay of council district. We'll have an overlay of neighborhoods, as well as we can put the overlay of nest neighborhoods as well. And so then as we start narrowing down, you know, with that final project list, that will all be within that map. So
where you all can show the investment from the previous two bonds, like it doesn't have to be on that map, but like, is there a way to show where the investments from the previous two bonds have been geographically?
Those are currently out on the website, but we can definitely think about how to kind of think through how that marries together without trying to overcomplicate things, but those maps currently do exist.
Thank you so much. That's it. Thank you, President Sandoval.
Thank you. Next up, we have Councilwoman Parody.
Great. Thank you so much, Madam Chair. Thanks for this, guys. Could we go back to the slide that listed the citywide programs, if that's possible? Sorry, I guess that's really an ask for Tim, maybe, probably.
It's Jerry today.
Jerry today. Sorry, Jerry. I don't know who's back there.
And then producer.
The person in the sky. If the producer, there we go, that's perfect. Can you tell me again, when you say under discussion, are these specifically citywide items that came up from subcommittees as tier one to the executive committee? Like what are the parameters of things?
So these are all the citywide programs that were tiered. It's a mixture of tier one through three that are on this list. I would have to go pull which ones are which.
Oh, that's okay. We have that info. I just was trying to understand what this slide represented exactly. And what I'm curious about is mostly just what the bullet point is about affordable housing and sheltering ADA. Is that just intended to encompass accessibility alterations to housing and shelter that already exist?
For that reinvestment bullet, yes.
Okay. I know there were other housing-related items that came up through the subcommittee process and were tiered, so I was just curious why they were.
Yeah, those are in the standalone projects. This is just for citywides.
Okay. Okay. And then I wanted to go back to the timeline here as well. So knowing that I think what you said is that the executive committee will get the recommendations to the mayor by the June 23rd, mm-hmm. we will have this in committee by July 22nd. Is there any thought about by this July 9th informational briefing, will we have the same list that the mayor had or the mayor's kind of final proposal? Just trying to understand a little bit more about what will happen between the 23rd and the 9th, I guess, if that makes sense.
I'm going to phone a friend again.
Yeah,
Schwartz.
It's a room full of many friends.
I'll actually use the mic this time. That's the intent. So we will try to bring as much information as we have ready to go on July 9th, as far as the actions that you'll be considering at committee on July 22nd. The goal with all of these meetings is to make sure you guys have plenty of time to talk about these things and you don't feel like you're getting brand new information on the floor of committee on July 22nd.
Before July 9th.
Yeah, we were trying to do those in the one-on-one briefings. I'm not going to, it could start whenever your schedules allow. And at the point of your briefing, we'll bring you the latest information we have at that point. So if there's stuff that's still in flux, that's still being decided, we'll then share that with you after the briefing. Okay. Does that make sense?
I think it does.
Okay.
Thanks. I think I'm good. Thanks, Madam.
Thank you. So just some closing thoughts. Trying to find all my tabs here. So the executive bond committee just wanted me to bring back to you all that some of the thoughts that we're utilizing are, is it a catalytic project, the economic impact, safety, and equity. They can continuously talk about equity. And we actually haven't really dug into the citywide projects yet because there's concern, what each council district gave specific projects, and then there's these bundles, and what do you get from those bundles? I'm proud of some of the bundles. I have, you all know that my baby is La Raza Park, and so La Raza Park was never defined in any bond, but it's gotten some, it got bond money, and currently right now it has a playground, and is, if for those who don't know, that swimming pool got filled in the middle of the night in the like early 80s, right? And so now we're finally getting an updated playground. And at the same time, some of my council district got sidewalks in a park where nobody wanted sidewalks. And it was kind of strange. Everyone was like, why do we have sidewalks there? I don't think we needed a sidewalk. It seemed like a perfectly fine path. So I have been your ambassador, Councilman Sawyer, that said, I think that in the last couple bonds, it didn't feel like as equitable. And so we pulled some of them out. And at the same time, we do get good work throughout the city through the bundles. So it has been a robust conversation, the bundles. We barely got the culturals presented to us yesterday. And so we hadn't even talked about which culturals. That doesn't include like the Native American. To you, Councilman Gilmore, I know that's your baby that you're ushering through. That wasn't part of that. It was just like the art museum, the symphony, so the zoo, so we barely got those. And then we have, I think, another four-hour meeting this coming Friday. And so we've really been doing our best to create that. I also have met with and brought together the bond group just to figure out why each of them wanted to serve on the bond. I felt like that was really important so that as I'm making these decisions, I can go back and say, hey, we're meeting. Kayla is the executive director of Girls Inc. That is really important for her, is the welfare of the children in Denver. Some of the people have safety at the forefront. Most of you know, remember Murphy Robinson. He runs a company now that deals with safety, so he's constantly thinking of safety. And there has been a robust conversation on deferred maintenance, more than you all have time for in this committee to understand. So we're doing our best to figure out these and at the same time work to make sure that we have a package that is presented to the mayor. And then the mayor will present us his package, and then it actually comes back to us, right? We refer it, and we refer this ballot initiative to the voters of Denver. And what I keep telling the executive bond committee is I want something that I can refer to the voters that I can defend. I think all of us feel that way, and they feel that way as well. So I think that we all have to have some priorities. The one, I'll end on this, the one request that the executive bond committee has asked is I gave you all the opportunity to do your own tiering after the subcommittees did tiering, and you each all have your own Excel docs. Some of our colleagues put everything in their council district was a priority. If you actually want to go back in there and list which ones are you feel rise to the top more than the others, that would be super helpful. Those, you still have access to those links. If you don't, contact me and I'll have Melissa from my office put them to the top of your inbox, because they have every meeting we have had, they go back to that list, that Excel doc that you all filled out and said, is this a priority? For example, Councilman Torres isn't here, but the Santa Fe bid didn't make it. And that was a huge priority for her council district. It has a business improvement district to actually maintain the infrastructure that we put on. And so every single conversation we have when we're tiering them in our process is we refer back to those Excel docs that you all have the opportunity to fill out. So I don't want you to feel like it's your last opportunity. So if you want to go back in there and make any refinements, please do, and we'll get those to our committees. And I will send out a save the date for July 9th for the 12-1, which will be our final time to come together for this working group. And I just have to give a shout out that in a time where I didn't think we would be saying this at the city, that we're thinking about cuts, deep cuts, this staff has been amazing to work with. I've been asking for questions. I've had a hard time keeping track of all of the documents that I've received. And I'm like, hey, I can't find this. Like, literally, I have emails after emails, and they'll cut an Excel doc and just send it to me within 30 minutes. Or we're going to do an exercise where I'm going to send out the micro priority list to the bond members so that they can help refer back to that as well through this process. So just want to say thank you for your participation. And I cannot thank Patrick, Laura, Evan, Nicole, your staff have been rock stars, and I know you've been putting as much time. You probably aren't getting sleep like me thinking about this and thinking about all the requests from the executive bond committee, Dr. Sanders. And it's been a lot of work. So just by the time it comes back, then we'll all have to just have a deliberative process on our side and be something that in a time where we're thinking about having to do cuts, this is a time to even invest more in our city, I truly believe. So just wanted just you all to know I'm really doing everything to make sure that you all are represented as well. So with that, I stand adjourned, and thank you all for attending.